If you have a question, press star 3. Dixie in Lake, John Connell.
I'm on you, Buck. Good work, Dennis.
Thank you.
Right on.
Gordon in Lakeland.
Hey, how's it going, Dennis?
Good, how are you doing?
Before I ask my question, I wanted to remind most of the people who have probably forgotten, the very first time I saw you after a real long layoff, I saw you once years ago, and then I saw you more recently at a town hall meeting, maybe last year. I walked up and I was going to address you by name and shake your hand, and before I could, you beat me to the punch. You recognized my face and you addressed me by name and shook my hand, and both before, during, and after, you knew that my questions would sometimes be very hard and strongly disagreeing with you. Not only did you remember my name and face, which is incredible because you're the congressman. I mean, I'm outgoing and whatnot and easy to remember.
Yes.
But you have an incredible memory, and you are not at all offended. For example, when I pounded you with my disagreement over how you sometimes vote for bills that spend more than we bring in. They're spending a deficit. Yeah. And so, but in any case, my question was, you remember the town hall meeting before last I asked about the scam, and I was wondering whether it was widespread or just a few cases where immigrants would pretend like that their life was in danger, and they would be put up in a hotel. And I believe one of your aides said that they had some sort of update as to if you had more details on just how widespread it was, where they would stay in a hotel for months and months, and then when their hearing was up, they would take off. And I just wanted to see what update you might have had on that, how widespread it was, and whatnot.
Gordon, I can't tell you right now, but I'm going to have that staff person get back with you.
Could I ask another question real quickly, if I could, because you need more time. That was a hard question. I know we've discussed this before, and you were good enough to put it up and whatnot, but you could file for bankruptcy if you went in debt. Donald Trump filed for bankruptcy for millions. College students can almost never file for bankruptcy, and you know me, I'm conservative. I don't want an easy way out, but the free market forces, the ability to file for bankruptcy in the financial world is like the Second Amendment in the physical world. The student is unable to defend himself, and the predatory lending and inflation of the tuition results. The liberals made the loans easily available, and the so-called conservatives removed the bankruptcy protection, which is the economic Second Amendment. And I don't think it's fair that everyone in the world can file for bankruptcy except a college student. And I mean, bankruptcy won't get the person off totally. They'll still have to pay something. But that violates the U.S. Constitution's prohibition against unequal bankruptcy laws. It's in the U.S. Constitution about the bankruptcy laws have to be uniform, and this violates that. And of course, it's just morally wrong that you could file for bankruptcy. Donald Trump can file for bankruptcy, but I can't. And people are ruined. They're committing suicide in some cases. And I would like for you to file a bill that just makes them equal with everyone else. I mean, what can you tell me about that?
Well, you recognize the very big problem that we have, and that's having the government in the business of student loans.
Amen.
What we had when I was in school were guarantees by the federal government, but the money that was actually loaned was from banks. It was private money that was guaranteed by the federal government. The banks took the initial risk, but they competed for my business, and I went to several banks and got the student loans. And then I consolidated through Sally Mae, the Sally Student Loan Mortgage Association, which I did, and then eventually paid them off. You know, the other thing that I think we're being very disingenuous to our students about is that we are setting them up for failure, not only because of the inability to have any relief, such as setting up a loan forgiveness to occupations that we need, nurses, doctors, engineers, professions that we desperately need to have in our country, that we could give them a loan forgiveness if they commit so much time in the program working for a particular project. But the other thing is, and I learned this from going over and meeting with the financial aid director at the University of South Florida in Tampa, is that we are giving an expectation that you can get as much money for whatever you need while you're in school by way of a loan, and your occupation that you're being trained for may not ever be able to afford to pay back that loan. You may have $150,000 in loans, but you may have a job that will only pay a maximum of, let's say, $35,000 a year over your life. You can't conceivably and reasonably pay for that. We're being disingenuous. Look, I think one of the best investments I ever made in my life was in my education. There's no question about it. If people want to go. They should have the opportunity to go. We should make it affordable. We need to get the government out of the business of loaning the money because we're loaning taxpayer dollars. We should invite more private capital. We should make it more competitive and let the banks take the risk. That's what they're in the business of doing. And if they take the risk and the person can't pay it back, then we go back to your bankruptcy laws, which, you know, the bankruptcy laws right now, if a student does file for bankruptcy, they can have all other debt discharged but their student loan. So we're not really doing a good service either way by making them over indebted for their education. You raised a very good point, and I appreciate that.
Thanks very much, Henry.
Star 3 to participate. Because of our late start due to vote, we're only going to take one more question, and we've got Frank in Mulberry.
Congressman, I'm concerned that anything you do in immigration will cause an influx of more illegal aliens, and we've already been told we're going to seal the border.
Yeah.
But we never seal the border. I think we really, really need to do that first.
You are correct, and that is why it's been so hard to get anything out of the House. Because let's face it, when Reagan did immigration reform, the first thing they were supposed to do was border security. They didn't do it. Under George W. Bush, they were supposed to do border security. First thing, they didn't do it. Now we've got a president who selectively enforces the law. And so if we were to pass a border security bill and he were to sign an executive order to prevent its implementation, what have we done? We've taken advantage, again, of the American public's confidence. I think we can all agree that the first step that we have to do is make sure that we secure the borders. That's just good homeland security sense. It's not because we're afraid of people from Mexico, of Mexican descent coming over here. It's because we're afraid of somebody who is sworn to harm this country may come through Mexico to harm this country. If we look at border security and allow for the enforcement of our border laws, our immigration laws by local law enforcement, we're going to have a better opportunity to make sure that we catch those that are here without documentation, that are here illegally. But I don't think we're going to get much done in terms of immigration reform until we can at least prove that we're serious about border security. Then we can expand our visa program. We can expand our guest worker program. We can allow for people to have legal status to be in this country to earn their citizenship. And I'm hopeful we go that way, Frank. I appreciate you raising the question. And I want to thank everybody for participating again tonight. We got a late start because our votes went late this evening. Please, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to contact our office. We hope to continue to do telephone town hall meetings every month at least. And if you would like to follow me on our website, that website address is www.dennisross.house.gov. We're also on Twitter at Rep. Dennis Ross and also on Facebook. Again, I cannot thank you enough for allowing me this tremendous honor to serve you. We are here to be your advocate. We may not always agree, but we will always have the opportunity to have this civil discourse amongst us. May God continue to bless you, and may God continue to bless this great nation. Have a wonderful evening, and good night.
The teleforum has ended.
Okay, I'm going to document the time, day, and date.
When you need help finding something at Publix, simply ask the closest associate. He or she will gladly walk you right to the item. No guessing, no trouble. Just the friendly, helpful service you've come to expect at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. Today is Wednesday, May 21st. Publix time, 6:55 p.m. Current temperature, 87 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-60s. Mostly sunny Thursday, high in the low 90s.
Okay, this is political editor and editor-in-chief of the Register, Gordon Wayne Watts, reporting. This was Wednesday, May 21st, but what year? 2014. And I'm going to document that by firing up NOAA Weather. Let me see if I can find it in the phone book right here. Okay, here's NOAA Weather.
Thank you for calling your National Weather Service office for the Tampa Bay area. This menu will provide you with recorded forecasts for
The Tampa climate summary for this evening, as of 5 p.m., May 21st, 2014. Today's high temperature was 84 degrees. This high was 4 degrees below the normal high of 88. The record high is 95 degrees, which was set in 1975. Today's low temperature
was a very unimportant number, because I just wanted to document that it was Wednesday, May 21st of 2014. The public time and temperature did not document the year. And what was just broadcast was a town hall meeting that just got over with Congressman Dennis Ross, federal Congressman Dennis Ross of, I'm trying to remember which district it is. Is it Florida's 15th U.S. district here in central Florida, which is between Orlando and Tampa. It was mainly in Lakeland. So in any case, this is a political editor and editor-in-chief of the Register, Gordon Wayne Watts, reporting. This was with regard to my call-in question about college loans being not equally treated, which is a violation of the U.S. Constitution's mandate that all bankruptcy laws be uniform. And, of course, that's not the case. Okay, so that concludes this particular news story. Editor-in-Chief Gordon Wayne Watts reporting.